Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
A philosophy major. Mm-hmm. Now, what can you do with a philosophy major?
You can think deep thoughts about being unemployed.
No, seriously. I mean, you're such a good teacher. Have you ever thought about teaching kung fu?
Philosophy or kung fu? Well, according to that scene from the movie Enter the Dragon, Bruce Lee had to make that very choice. But it looks like these days more and more college students are choosing philosophy, the quintessential, what are you going to do with that major? Story in the New York Times yesterday highlighted that. Maybe you saw it. And it mentioned that at City University of New York, for instance, enrollment in the philosophy major has more than doubled in the last few years. Same for Rutgers, and the trend seems to hold nationwide. So what exactly do you do with a philosophy major? Is it thinking deep thoughts about being unemployed, as that character put it? We want to hear from you. If you majored in philosophy ever, what are you doing now? What skills did it teach you? If you are majoring in philosophy right now, tell us why. Do you think it's different in some respects than why your parents or your grandparents might have majored in philosophy? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Looking back and pondering why, those of you who majored in philosophy once upon a time, do you regret it? Are you glad you majored in philosophy, even if you went on to be a Wall Street broker or a ditch digger? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or post to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show. And joining us to work through these ideas and paint a picture of today's philosophy major is David Schrader, Executive Director of the American Philosophical Association. David, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you very much. It's nice to be virtually in New York.
Indeed. And where are you?
Newark, Delaware.
Newark, Delaware. Yes, in New Jersey they say Newark. In Delaware they say Newark. And there in Newark, did you happen to see the New York City Times yesterday and this article on philosophy majors?
I did indeed. I have the article right in front of me on my computer screen.
And any surprise there?
Yes and no, I suppose. I keep hearing from various association members that they're experiencing very strong enrollment in their departments. Likewise, last November, there was an article in The Guardian in England that was talking about a similar kind of increase in numbers of philosophy majors there on the other side of the ocean. Certainly, as should be no surprise, I think...
Now we know where the Times got the idea. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, certainly in my own... I've long thought philosophy is a wonderful thing to study, and many of my students over the years have done a variety of things to which they've benefited from philosophy. So from my perspective, this is a good kind of confirmation that students around the country are recognizing the same virtues in the discipline that we see.
And I realize you were quoted in the Times article, which is why my producers thought to get you on the show.
Certainly, so, yes.
Do you think that students choosing to major in philosophy today, if this is really on the rise, are doing it for different reasons than students a generation or two ago?
I think in some ways, yes. Largely because I think the student culture of today is simply a different culture than it was, say, 20, 30 years ago. Yet at the same time, I think that many of the same underlying things are operative. That is, students, certainly a good number of students, when they find themselves in a philosophy course, simply think that what people do in philosophy is really pretty fascinating. They also, I find, enjoy the kind of strong analytical skills that the discipline develops. I think those kinds of issues have always been with us. Students now, of course, tend to be, I think, more concerned with the immediacies of employment and so on, particularly in a difficult economy and in a time when the employment world is rapidly changing. And
what do you do? You said that you think people are intrigued with what philosophers do.
Yes.
What do philosophers do? Literally, I mean, how do you, other than, you know, you're running the American, I assume that you're a philosopher who also runs the American Philosophical Association. You're not a full-time administrator. So what does a philosopher do? How do you spend your day philosophizing?
Philosophy, there's a wonderful characterization from a book titled by great American philosopher Clarence Lewis, An Analysis of Knowledge and Valuation. What philosophers do really depends on the variety of other things that they're interested in. It's a matter of applying the tools of philosophy to whatever you're interested in. So what one does is one looks at the reasons that are put forward for positions in whatever area you're interested in. Certainly as we look at philosophy courses, as we look at philosophy meetings, the topics range on everything from war and peace, economic opportunity, to the nature of mathematics. There was a wonderful discussion in our most recent meeting in Pasadena on the compatibility of evolutionary biology and religion. So essentially, the things that philosophers think about are all over the map. The distinctive thing about philosophy, I think, is the discipline, the attention to arguments that philosophers, and also the depth to which philosophers are prepared to push questions.
Let's take some phone calls. Our lines are full. You'll be
wonderful.
Happy to know. 10 lines, and they lit up like that. First, somebody wrote in, the philosophy major asks, why? The engineering major asks, how? The fine arts major asks, would you like fries with that? Gowan in White Plains, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi, Brian. So I majored in philosophy at Oberlin, and I became an Episcopal priest. Philosophy helped me think through issues of free will and metaphysics, as well as consciousness. And also it helped me in all my other classes. It really taught me how to write and think. So all my other classes, I ended up doing far better than I did before my first philosophy class, where my professor really helped me think slowly through very core concepts in any argument.
Very good. And do you find that as a philosophy major that you come to the act of being clergy differently from people who are, you know, that you approach it kind of day to day differently from people who came to the clergy in other ways?
Yeah, I think so, because, for instance, when I'm writing sermons, I'm actually trying to go through very basic concepts like evil or even action in a way that I'm trying to address the things that they're doing, but also I use arguments and counter-arguments, and also I use concrete examples. So I try to get out of the very ethereal language that you'll find lots of clergy mm-hmm. use, you know, issues like love or whatever, but with philosophical argumentation, which you're trying to use concrete examples to describe, like, general concepts. I actually think I'm able to, in my sermons, actually address things more clearly for people mm-hmm. who are trying to think through things themselves.
Gowan, thank you very much for your call. By the way, some famous philosophy majors. Do you know about all of these? George Soros,
mm-hmm.
Rahm Emanuel, Robert
right.
McNamara, Stone Phillips, the TV anchor,
right.
Harrison Ford, and Alex Trebek, Philosophy for 100.
I wasn't aware of all of those, but I believe... Now, this is going back a bit into the past, that the football player and subsequent announcer Don Meredith was a philosophy major.
Wow. The party's over. Chris in Sayville, you're on WNYC. Hi, Chris.
Hi, good morning. I was not a philosophy major, but I paid many thousands of dollars for my son to go through NYU and be a philosophy major, and I'm really happy he did that. I think something that we've lost all concept of in America is, particularly since World War II and the GI Bill, is that college is where you go for an education, not to learn a trade, not to make more money, or not to apply it to some entrepreneurial endeavor. It's an education, a liberal arts education.
That's a very enlightened attitude for a parent who's paying for it to take.
Yeah, and after college, then you can go on and learn a trade, like being a doctor or a lawyer or an engineer or something like that. But a solid liberal arts education is just that, an education. And philosophy is the cornerstone of a good education of the liberal arts in the liberal arts field.
Well, Chris, I'm going to leave it there. But David from the American Philosophical Association, do you think the rise in philosophy majors, is it all linked to the rise in people getting advanced degrees, that people know they're going to go on and get a more practical master's, or I don't know if I could say practical and PhD in the same breath, but thus they can use their undergrad degree to pursue something less concrete?
I think some of it is accounted for by that. Certainly we have data that indicate the philosophy majors score exceptionally well, for example, on the law school admission exam. They score exceptionally well on the graduate management admissions exam.
I've seen that. The GRE and the LSAT also, that philosophy majors have proven to do better on those exams. Right?
Right.
Is there a subgenre known as the philosophy of gaming the test?
I think not so much that as that these tests are very much concerned with analytical skills. I think the previous speaker perhaps hit something very important, that philosophy majors are well educated, and as a result, when they get into the issue of training for positions, they do that very well. I was just visiting with a former student of mine yesterday who is in the banking industry. He was in Pittsburgh. He was interested in leaving Pittsburgh because of his fiancée's professional work. His company said, well, if you can do your work by computer, we would love to be able to keep you. And this was a testament to his skills and the value that he'd be gained to the company.
Uh-huh. Marissa in Birmingham, Alabama. You're on WNYC. Hi, Marissa.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for making it. How do you know about the show?
I used to live in New York for about a year. I fell in love with it, so I still listen to it every day.
That's great.
So I wonder, I was a philosophy major in the 70s, and I remember my father said, what are you going to do, open a philosophy store? And what happened was I was an art major who had nothing to paint about, so I took one class, and it just, you know, blew me away. Became a photojournalist, and if I hadn't taken or become a philosophy major, when I went to India, I wouldn't have known anything about comparative religions. It would have changed, you know, everything that I photographed. So it was the perfect major for me.
You said you were an art major with nothing to paint about?
Because I was an 18-year-old kid.
Now, that is an existential crisis.
It is. When I occasionally go through those, you know, even in my 50s, and start reading my Star Trek, but I just wanted to let people know that you can do anything with it. And also, if you're a philosophy major, you learn to write. And if you can write, you can pretty much do anything.
Marissa, thanks for the call. And Rob in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Rob.
How you doing? Number one, I love your show.
Thank you.
And I graduated with a philosophy degree from University of Binghamton in New York in 1983, and I was one of two graduates. I was the one that did it in 4 years rather than 6 years, and went on to law school and got bored of that and did some radio and got bored of that and went on to work with software and designing software, and I'm looking forward to a fourth career. So I think there are a lot of benefits to it, but in my case, if the number of philosophy majors has doubled, then there are now two in Binghamton, and I think that's kind of interesting.
You're like the guy who says, I love being married, that's why I've done it four times.
In many ways, yes, and I think what the previous caller said about knowing how to write, and how your guest has said that knowing how to be analytical allows you pretty much full range to do whatever you want, so you can change your mind as you go along. But for the parent that felt very comfortable with it, all I can say is $2 and you can get on the subway.
Rob, thanks a lot for your call. And $3.50 and you can buy a coffee at Starbucks. So we're going to talk about something related to that next, but I want to thank my guest, David Trader, executive director of the American Philosophical Association, who was quoted in the New York Times article yesterday on the rise of the philosophy major in the current enrolled student body around the country. That's quickly become one of their most emailed articles at nytimes.com. All right, thanks a lot, David. We really appreciate it.
It's certainly been a pleasure being with you this morning.
So if the philosophy major asks why, the engineering major asks how, the fine arts major asks venti or grande. We will talk about the court case involving Starbucks baristas and their supervisors in a minute.